Good morning, everybody, and welcome into the Mary Griffith Show on this Monday as we're coming up on 9:18. And as always, the Mary Griffith Show is sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee, offering premier coffees roasted and delivered in small batches, all sorts of great, delicious flavors delivered fresh to assure you a rich, sophisticated, delicious coffee experience. So thank you to Harvest Ridge Coffee for sponsoring us here on the Mary Griffith Show. It is the second Monday in the month, which means we talk veterans issues. As always, Richard Ellison Peter is here. And he's got, Richard, you've got a couple of guests, and these are familiar names to folks in Quincy. Anybody who likes to talk would go ahead and talk. I mean,
go ahead, Richard.
I'll
tell you what. Yeah, so I'm very excited about this. I said this is a great topic. We always come here, said the second Monday, to talk to Mary and yourselves about veterans and veterans issues. And as far as issues, I think this is one of the best issues we've had in the last year and a half, 2 years we've been doing this. I think this is going to be a really fun conversation today. So.
All righty. To my left, former Quincy Mayor and current State Representative Kyle Moore here, who is wearing his State Representative hat today.
It's great to be here. Yeah.
And the Director of the Adams County Veterans Commission, Paul Hevermail, is here as well. Good morning, Paul.
Always a pleasure, Scott.
Yeah,
always a pleasure.
It is always a pleasure, and that's what we're here to talk about is the Veterans Commission. And I wanted to start with Kyle because you recently introduced a bill in the Illinois General Assembly with State Senator Jill Tracy about the Veterans Commissions for smaller counties. If you want to explain that bill.
Yeah, that's great. So one of the things I'm really proud of here in Adams County is just the work that the Veterans Assistance Commission has done. And Paul has really done a great job of keeping our office informed of just some of the benefits and services that they've offered. And talking about going into the General Assembly, what are ways that we can better serve veterans? We realized that there was a desert essentially in western and southern Illinois for Veterans Assistance Commissions, that counties with populations higher than 60,000 had no problems forming Veterans Assistance Commission, but the smaller counties really were having difficulties doing it, either because of lack of financial infrastructure, just the tax base wasn't there, the people to run it wasn't there, and sometimes just the services. So if you think about our area here in west central Illinois, a lot of the services are in Adams County. And so, for example, a county like Pike, it might be more difficult for them to provide services like transportation and things like that to veterans because they just don't have that necessarily infrastructure tied in. And so Senator Tracy and I proposed a bill which would allow for a multi-county Veterans Assistance Commission. And so it's a voluntary process. So if a county wanted to join with another county, they could. If a county wanted to stay independent like Adams County, they could as well. But this allows for those smaller counties to join together and really look at what's a great makeup for a Veterans Assistance Commission. Maybe one county has more people infrastructure, one might have more financial infrastructure, and one might have more services to provide. Three could join up and do that. And so I really want to give kudos to the state's Veterans Assistance Commission and all the veterans groups out there. We had a number of amendments that we filed just to make sure that it fit what the veterans needed, because at the end of the day, they know what they need best. It did pass the House and pass the Senate. And so there's some cleanup between the two that's going to need to be done. But we're very hopeful that it's going to be signed into law this year.
All right. So it is in conference committee right now.
Correct.
All right, very good. And that's just, like you said, just matching up so that basically the House and the Senate bills match their language and you can present it as one cohesive bill to be signed by Governor Pritzker.
Correct. And so we think that's going to get done. And, it's bipartisan support. So I had the head of the head Democrat on the Veterans Committee be my chief co-sponsor. It passed unanimously. So I think this has a good shot at getting done. And at the end of the day, it's just so that way we can make sure that if there's a veteran out there that needs assistance, they have a commission like the one here in Adams County that they can reach out to.
And an important note that, folks, if any county commissioners are listening right now, this is broken out by judicial district, meaning, for instance, folks in Hancock County can't contact Adams County and say, hey, would you like to join with us? different judicial districts.
That's right. So they have to look at the judicial districts and join within that. But there's a very good rhyme and reason, just because those circuits were already set up and they had the infrastructure from the court system to collect the tax that funds the Veterans Assistance Commissions if it was a multi-county. And that was the decision to turn it into the judicial circuit rather than just be multi-county.
Have you gotten feedback from county commissioners about their eagerness? Are there several of them that are going to be thinking about forming multiple commissions?
Yeah, Scott, there's a number of counties that have talked to us, or adjacent counties, specifically, I think Pike and Brown have expressed interest. It's kind of a new thing. Representative Moore did a great job of jumping on an issue that was near and dear to a lot of the VACs throughout the state. And as he mentioned, our association has a very active legislative team, and they worked very hard with Representative Moore's office. And I think we've got a really good bill there, our law there now, I guess. But the big thing is that we just need to remember that we're all kind of in the same mission here. Our main job is to help veterans. There's no, or there shouldn't be any, territory issues or, worrying about things like that. The end of the day, we make lives of our veterans a little bit better in the counties that we serve, and I think our mission's accomplished at that point.
Because really, at the end of it, aren't you either referring them locally to services that are available, or if not, then it's like, well, let's contact the VA, and pretty much everybody shares like the same VA in a big wide region, don't they?
Well, correct. I mean, technically, the way a VAC works is that there's two general functions. One, we do VA benefits, so we're all accredited VSOs. We have some good VSOs here at the Illinois Veterans Home as well that are with the Illinois Department of Veterans Affairs. And I always say we have a kind of a friendly competition with the IDVA. I consider Terry Prince, the director, as one of my, I don't want to say friends, but often acquaintances, I guess. I don't know that word, but
close working associate. How about that?
Scott, you're a wordsmith. Thank you.
thank you.
But but the other side that we do that's slightly different is we can provide direct financial assistance, and that's really where the VAC can make a huge difference in some of these counties, I think. And I think that's made a big difference in Adams County.
Yeah, and I would actually add a third to that, is we are allowed to refer people out. Mm-hmm. We are allowed to collaborate with other organizations, wherein sometimes you're not allowed to. So we can. So I think it's one of those things that Paul is doing really, really great job as far as reaching out, working with other organizations, other groups, other counties, and at the local, state, and federal levels. So.
Very, very good. Getting back to you, Kyle, this, of course, has been an issue that you brought up that people may not have been aware of. Are there other issues that are affecting veterans that you're tackling or the General Assembly is considering here in the last 2 or 3 weeks of the session?
Yeah, so I happen to serve on the Veterans Committee, and that was one of the things that when we were listing the committees we wanted to serve on was my top priority to be able to serve on with the Veterans Home here in Quincy and that important project. But we've really had we've had a good discussion with all of the agencies and all the veterans groups about what their needs are. And it's this is not going to be news to anybody, but we're tackling issues of housing, we're tackling issues of worker training, and we're talking about actually removing some requirements where veterans build housing for – right now there's a requirement where if you build a house, you have to make it kind of electric vehicle friendly, and that might be waived for veterans. So there's a few of those issues, but really the top two issues are housing and job training. So that way when folks come back from their service, if they need to be reskilled, they have the ability to do that. And there's a lot of wonderful programs out there for veterans.
And that I'm assuming that waiver is not just because veterans are overwhelmingly negative on EVs. It's just the cost.
It's the cost. And just wanting to reduce the cost to construct housing and for veterans as much as possible. And one thing I do want to say, Scott, is we have in our office, we have a veterans resource book that anybody can stop by and pick up. It's a pamphlet. And we'll talk about all the different resources that are available to a veteran within the state of Illinois. And it's just a connector. So we don't act as case managers. Rangers. In fact, we'd probably refer them over to Paul at the VAC, but we do have that resource for any veteran within the district, just so they can see all the different resources within the state of Illinois that are available to them.
All right, very, very good. We are, tell you what, we're going to go ahead and take a break early, because the second part of the program, I really want to get into more about what a county VAC does, the services that are offered as well. We can also talk more about, get an update on what's going on at the Veterans Home in terms of, we know the construction is getting close, so we'll talk a lot more about that as well. But as we talk veterans issues with some folks who know, State Representative Kyle Moore, the Veterans Assistance Commission head in Adams County, Paul Havermail, as well as the wonderful guests that we always talk to here about Veterans Affairs, Richard Ells and Peter with Tri-State's Vet Together with Veterans, all on the way here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Thank you so much, Lisa. We'll get another update from you coming up next hour at 9:32. Let's get back to our discussion here on the Mary Griffith Show. We're talking about veterans issues, and specifically Veterans Assistance Commissions in Illinois, and we've covered the fact that in a judicial district, smaller counties can now form together, band together, and form their own multiple county commissions. And here to talk more about what a Veterans Affairs Commission does is the director of the Adams County Commission, Paul Havermail. And Paul, kind of just kind of go over in as much detail as you'd like what your VAC does.
Well, the Veterans Assistance Commission has two or three prongs, I guess, of services that they provide. The first and being that we provide a veteran service officer accredited VA claim representation. The second would be direct financial assistance for income eligible veterans, and there are some other criteria. And then, third, we do, I think, general advocacy, trying to plug the veterans into the community that need that, and the community supporting the veterans. And then we also network very extensively with other assistance organizations. I could name a bunch of them. I think we've met with over 35 or 40 agencies. We attend quite a few meetings of those agencies. So we're trying to be plugged in as best we can. Then we also want to give some kudos to our friends in the Illinois Department of Veteran Affairs. They have accredited veteran service officers that are in Adams County as well, and they're located out at the Veterans Home. So, as we said earlier in the program, Adams County is very lucky that we have resources for our veterans that a lot of other counties don't, but the need is there. We've seen well over almost 600 veterans since we started in January of 2024. It's a good mix of all those services we provide, but to say there wasn't a need or that it wasn't necessary to me is a grave mistake or a grave misservice to the services that our veterans do need. So it's been a success, I believe, from my perspective, and I'm very proud of the work that we're doing.
Very good, very good. Yeah, I mean, yeah. The funding that you mentioned, the direct funding, is that through the state of Illinois? Is that through Adams County?
It's actually through Adams County. There's a small portion of the property tax comes to the VAC directly. That is our operating fund. We do have a private fund for things that are not allowed to be paid for with tax dollars, but that is audited through the county and all that to make sure that we're doing things properly. But we do have a private non-tax dollar segment that we use for, again, things that are not allowed to be spent, or I'm sorry, that we are not allowed to spend tax dollars on.
Gotcha. So I imagine any donations for that are always welcome, right?
Oh, absolutely. We'll take a donation.
Well, sure. I mean, it just allows you to get more stuff done.
Absolutely. Budget extenders is what I call it. And then, But we also want to make sure that we don't shortchange our veteran service organizations that are out there right now, your American Legions, VFWs, DAV, all of those things. So we always encourage people to donate money there first. And then if there's a need that you want to spread it out through the whole county or something like that, contact the VAC.
Would you, Paul, say that the Veterans Assistance Commission here in the county, is it kind of like an umbrella organization where you work with all of these groups and just kind of say, oh, no, don't go here, go here, you'll get better? Would that be the function?
Yes, we always want to work as a referral agency, I guess you would say almost first, really, because anytime that we can use existing funds or existing organizations that have something in place, we can make our tax dollars go further that we get. We also want to make sure that we realize that there are services out there that do a good job. They just may not be able to do the things by law that we can do, or that some of these private organizations can do that we can't do, you know, the VAC can't do. So it's all about a team, and our goals are all the same. At the end of the day, if we can improve a veteran's life, make something work better for them, it enriches the community, and it also enriches, not in a monetary way, but enriches the life of that veteran. And hopefully that's the goal of every organization that we've discussed today. I believe it is.
Right, because, I mean, if nothing else, it's just a sense of pride of just letting that person know, thank you for what you did. We're here for you. We want to support you, and we want you to succeed. Tell us what it is you need, and we'll help you as best we can.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, very good. You mentioned earlier, Paul, about the fact that you have reached over 600 veterans, but I kind of reading, because as much as I know you, it's like there's a lot more veterans out there that you haven't been able to reach for one reason or another.
Adams County actually, percentage-wise, has a higher percentage of veteran population than most counties and most of the country. We're about 8.3% of our population are veterans. That equates to about 4,300 people, roughly, depending on how you count it. And again, we provide VSO, VA claim work for anybody that walks in the door, because we're required to do that by the federal government. There's a lot more that we could reach. There's a lot more we would like to talk to. Again, we want to make sure if you don't like what we do, you don't want to talk to us, you know, make sure if you've got a VA issue to get to the VSOs out at the Veterans Home. Just do something. If you're due benefits from the VA or from the IDVA, I assure you they will not give you benefits if you don't earn them. There is a process to go through. So don't be bashful and don't think, well, hey, I don't deserve that or something like that, or I'll save it for the next person. That's not how it works. Yeah. You know, if you earn it, you earn it. If you don't, you will not get them.
Right.
Period.
And I know, Richard, you and I have talked about it. I'm sure Mary and you have talked about it as well. A lot of veterans' attitudes is just like, well, I'm self-sufficient. I've been taught to be self-sufficient, and I'm going to continue to be self-sufficient.
Well, absolutely. And it is that veteran mentality is, I'm okay. I'm fine. When I started with this, 10 years ago or so, people say, oh, are you a disabled veteran? I'm like, no, I'm just an old veteran wearing out. So it was a veteran mentality of that, I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm just old, I'm just getting old, so these are not veterans' issues or military issues, just old person issues. But that's not necessarily true. There were a lot of things in my life that have materialized through the ages that were directly related to my military career. So being able to come in, talk to somebody, get it evaluated, have you look at the medical records that you have, and see if there is a nexus or a connection between those. And it says, one of those things that we had when we started this conversation, people were like, well, tax dollars. You're going to use tax dollars, and it's not going to be worth it, and they're not going to bring enough money in, or, it's not going to pay for itself type of thing. But, Paul, I'm going to put you on the spot here real quick, is – there is that calculation, and when we say we take X number of tax dollars, from the county, but I just simply knew that we would bring in more, and we'd be a net gain for the county. And Paul, you have those numbers, so.
Yeah, I always a little hesitant these days to talk about it because we are proud of the fact that when we count folks that we've helped get into VA healthcare and the VA claims that we have brought in, and private dollars that we have brought in through grants and foundations, we're up very close to $1 million annually right now. Our budget, and I'm very open about it, it's all public record, our budget's about $375,000 to $385,000 a year. Again, the dollars we're bringing in far exceed that. So now that's not obviously not a direct going into the county coffers or anything like that, but it is income that's coming into our county for the most part. And I would think that if we had an employer bringing in those kind of dollars, we'd certainly support them at least as much as the VAC's getting supported. And I think we've done been pretty good steward of what we're doing. So.
Yeah, that is. I mean, they would be pointed out and noted as well that they're bringing in that contribution. And then is that just from when folks come in to the county and just like incidental spending, like a visit, like people do when they come and visit, or?
Well, let's be clear. That's not economic impact. Those are VA claim federal dollars that we've got for our clients that live in the county. So, again, it's not a direct, I guess you would say, economic impact, but it is disposable income in some cases, or it's income to live on that they can pay their bills, quite frankly. So I want to be very clear that we're not making claims that we can't back up, and we're not exaggerating our impact, and I don't want to do that. So we want to be open and transparent with everything that we do.
Understand. Paul Havermail there, the Vets Assistance Commission Director here, Superintendent here in Adams County, one of our guests here on the Mary Griffith Show. Tell you what, we'll take a short break. We'll be back with more here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show at 9:44 now, 16 in front of the hour, and we're talking veterans issues, specifically veterans assistance commissions in one county and in multiple counties. Here alongside is, as always, Rich Elsenpeter with Together with Tri-State Veteran Support, the superintendent of the Adams County Veterans Assistance Commission, Paul Havermail, State Representative Kyle Moore, who put together a bill to let counties in a judicial district combine their VACs if they so choose to do so. I wanted to get back to that, Kyle, real quick. Let's say, for instance, like Brown, Pike, and Scott counties decide, mm-hmm. let's all go in together. Mm-hmm. What issues do they have to do? What things do they have to do in order to get a multi-VAC going?
Right. So they need to look at what the makeup of the board's going to be. They need to look at funding, specifically what their total funding with the tax collection is going to be. The counties then have to implement those taxes. And then they just have to look at where is the office going to be located. And so with the bill as it is proposed, you could have multi-offices if you wanted, but we recognize that there might not be the funding for that. And so where's your head office going to be? And then you have to essentially discuss how staff is appointed. So it'd be very similar to the Adams County process, but instead you have multiple county boards, multiple veteran service organizations that will participate in that process. But really, I would think it needs to be, you know, where are the services going to be? Where do people need to go to get those services, and how do we make sure that if people need to get from one county to another, that we can get them to there?
So it's almost an instance of certain counties are going to work together who already kind of work together in a
right.
way.
Right. I mean, we already have, you know, we have counties that share 911 dispatch, you know, things like that. So, you know, there are definitely opportunities for more collaboration. And you may have where three smaller counties get together, but they still may send services to Adams County if that's where, you know, the hospital and things like that are at. So it's really, you know, all working together. And that's what I think the goal of this is. And I think really the last, few years of the Veterans Assistance Commission across the state is how do you just take all the resources that are available for veterans and make it easier for a veteran so that way they don't have to go through the cobweb that is government and all these things and just say, okay, I can go to one place, they can tell me, I can tell them what I need, and then they can point me in the right direction of where to go.
Yeah, that was the nice thing when we were first talking about this in the fall of 2023 here in Adams County. I remember talking with you about it, Rich, and I was kind of asked you the question, are they going to be stepping on your toes? And you were like, heck no.
There's never too much help. And it's one of those that with the Together with Tri-State Veteran Support, when we started this 10 years ago, what we want to do is get the information together, find out what resources, you know, people have, and then collaborate, work with each other, you know, get everybody's numbers in everybody else's Rolodex. So if a veteran comes into your office and say, I need help with this, 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 and this, they say, well, I can help you with this and this because that's what our purview and our, you know, mission is. But I also know where you can go for this and this. and you can call them up. And I know Paul does that, you know, on a daily basis. He will call people up and say, I have a veteran that needs help with this. I'm going to send them down to you, or I'm going to do a workup and then I'll send you the information type. So it's always be able to work together and collaborate together to make everybody's job easier and to help veterans streamline that program.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, Paul, do you find some frustration among some veterans, even though you are providing them the information and just saying you have to go here, we can help you and smooth the way? Do you find some frustration, though, with saying, I just wanted it here in one location?
The simple answer is yes. The expanded answer would be that one of the things, as Richard alluded to a little bit, when we were setting this up, and I was kind of brought in after the fact, it was kind of rolling really well already under Richard and a few other veterans leadership, Barry Cheney, how I say his name wrong. There were others involved, quite a few others. One of the things that was put on me as the first superintendent was, you get somebody in there, you don't, you know, make a phone call, do something, help them so we can cut through some of that red tape and that bureaucracy. And I think we've done a decent job of that. As I said earlier, we've networked with a number of other assistance agencies. We're a member of the IRIS system. We're a member of the United Way Community Needs Assessment. I mean, you know, all these things, which Representative Moore is as well. All of these things have created an atmosphere to where, you know, if we can help, we're going to help. If we have to get somebody somewhere, we'll arrange that. We have transportation contracts. We're working on another transportation project. Yes, the simple answer is yes. If we get somebody that needs help, at a minimum, we're going to make a phone call as they're leaving the office and hopefully a physical connection as well.
These counties who are going to form a multi-county VAC, Paul, what advice would you have for them in terms of, like, if you could talk to the director? Say for instance, Brown and Scott counties, or Pike and Scott counties form one, since they're all so close together. What advice would you have for whoever would be the superintendent of that?
A couple of things. One would be to expect the unexpected. I know that sounds very cliche, but it's true. We really didn't know the full extent of the need until we got into this. For instance, we never thought VA claims would be much of our work, and it's blossomed into a lot of our work, or a good portion of it. The other thing I would say is just have a attitude of service. If you're getting into this to get wealthy, or if you're getting into this for political gain, or if you, whatever the case may be, if you're not in it to serve veterans, don't even apply for the job. You know, I was one of a number of applicants. I was blessed to be offered the job because I wanted to do something useful for my community in my last few years of working, and I was blessed with the board offering me the position. But again, the biggest advice I can give, if you're in this for anything other than to serve veterans, you're in the wrong mm-hmm. arena.
Yeah, very, very good.
And I said, I'm going to add one to that, is never let the distractor say, this can't be done. Because when we started this project 5 years ago to start the Adams County VAC, we were told, this will never happen. It'll never get approved. You cannot get this done. And it is done. So never let the distractor say, you can't do it.
Yeah.
Because that's BS. You can do it.
Yeah.
You just have to put the time and effort into it. And get your ducks in a row and explain in a cognitive, coherent way why it's important to do.
Well, I can remember that meeting when it was passed here in Adams County at the board meeting there, and you must have done that because that thing just passed like that, so which was great to hear. You know, because I think they knew that Paul was going to be on board with it. And
there's a lot of education that goes in before something gets taken to the county. And so I would encourage them to talk to their county representatives as they do it, so that way those questions can be answered ahead of time, because it is an intricate process to set it up. But I think the volunteers that set this up in Adams County did a great job of making sure to talk to all the stakeholders ahead of time, so that way by the time it got to the county board, everybody understood the why.
Yeah, and I think everybody, I mean, it's one of those things where everybody is on board, yes, we need to help our veterans. They gave some, if not all, for our country, and we need to help them. It's just, you know, like Richard said, it's getting there, mm-hmm. and you know, lighting the path and getting down the road. We're going to take one more short break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Veterans Home, how that's going on a statewide level as well in terms of investment, and get an update on that and any other veterans issues that might be needed to be covered here in the minutes we have remaining here on the Mary Griffith Show on WTAD. Welcome back to the Mary Griffith Show. Scott Hardy in for Mary in the just a few remaining minutes that we have left here. We're talking veterans issues specifically. The Veterans Assistance Commission in Adams County and the ability for other smaller counties to form their own multi-county commissions that has been approved and is awaiting the signature of Governor Pritzker. And I'm sure Representative Kyle Moore, you'll let us know when that happens.
Oh, you'll be the first to know, Scott.
Okay, thank you.
You're on speed dial.
Well, then I'll get an email, which is okay. Yeah. He's busy. I'm busy. So, yeah, wanted to get an update. We were pretty close to finishing up all the construction at the Illinois Veterans Home.
We are. You know, it was a great day this few months ago when the domiciliary opened, and we're happy about that. In talking with some state officials, we have a little bit more work to do on the rest of the buildings, but we think it's going to be done by late summer. I would say I don't want to say early fall, because it pushed out too far, but I am pleased that we're going to have a number of state representatives that are coming to take a look at the progress so far, and I think by the end of the summer, we're going to have a good look at the finished product.
All right, then. So something tells me that if and when it is all completely finished, Governor Pritzker will find his way to Quincy. Something will tells me that will happen.
I believe he will.
Yeah, just to claim credit, if nothing else. But, I mean,
he deserves it.
Yeah, yeah. I was going
to
say, sure.
I always tell people he kept his promise to me when I was mayor that he would not only keep it open, but continue on with funding. And, you know, it's over $300 million project here that not only keeps 300 veterans that call that place home, mm-hmm. here in Quincy, but over 500 employees. So I do want to give credit where credit is due on that.
Right, exactly. So we're looking forward to that coming up here a little bit later on this year. Richard, anything else that is going on with veterans issues locally that you want folks to know about?
I tell you, we are constantly working on new projects. We are working on the Adrenaline Racing. We're working on our Veterans Choice Business Choice Awards. We're working on those on a monthly basis. So I think there's always new things that we're working on, continuing projects, working with WTAD and the radio station here to, you know, on a monthly basis. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's always things we're working on, and so we will bring those to you every single month.
All right, and the business choice, is that just basically you honor a local business that does kind of goes up above and beyond for veterans?
Well, it does, because the whole idea is when we started this project is, as you know, I do a lot of veterans advocacy, and I go out to a lot of business and say, I need help with this. I need funding with that. I need donations for, you know, this or that. And I always felt bad because they were always giving, and I was always asking. So we wanted to be able to come out to the businesses and say, thank you. Flip that script and say, be able to say thank you for all the hard work you've done. Thank you for hiring veterans. Thank you for doing this project or that project. And being able to give them that recognition that they wholeheartedly deserve, but they never asked for. So,
and in order to nominate a business, they just basically need to get in touch with your organization.
Basically, it's very simple. They just contact, let us know what business they want to thanked, and give us a few reasons why. You know, what do they do to go above and beyond? And then we take it from there. So,
all righty. And that's Together with Tri-State Veterans. If you know a business that honors veterans and should be recognized, go ahead and recognize them, because it's well worth it. They do it, you know, they do it out of the goodness of their heart, knowing it's the right thing to do. And they should be recognized as well. All right, Paul Havermail, in the 2 minutes that we have left, go ahead and give a pitch to get veterans to contact the commission and get the services that they need.
Yes, if any veteran in Adams County or the surrounding areas, if they're looking for VA claim help, you can give our office a call at 217-515-2822. Our general email is vacac@adamscountyil.gov. give us a call. We'll see if we can help you.
All righty. And that's, I'm assuming that's up on the county's website too?
Yes, we have a segment, our own little segment on the county website.
Okay, very, very good. And if you know, if you're really curious, you want to see what Paul's got money-wise, he told you, but, you know, the county budget is there, too, if for some reason you want to look at that. I mean, they do post it. You do have to look for it, but it is posted there. I can tell you that from personal experience. You got to look for it, but it is there. Gentlemen, I just wanted to thank you all very much for being here, taking time out of your busy schedules to be here. It's very much appreciated. Thank you for everything that you do for veterans and for the community as well. So you got to switch your other hat back today here with over at Greta.
Yeah, we're heading back over to the Greta office now.
All righty, then. Because you've got the ceremony tomorrow afternoon, right?
We do. We have career launch signing day, so very excited about that.
Yeah, that's tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock at John Wood, where young people who have been through college, high school, and they've worked with the company, they basically sit down and sign their contract and work with a nice company, and they get to start on a nice life.
It's like an athlete signing onto a college. We like to celebrate their accomplishments, and so we have some great employers that are participating. 4 o'clock tomorrow, John Wood.
All righty. That's a workforce development center.
Thank you for that.
Out there on Cook's Lane, so don't go to the main campus. All right, folks, thank you so much. Enjoyed subbing for Mary, as always. She is back tomorrow here on the program and on the news as well. WTAD Quincy, 10 o'clock news is next. Good morning.